You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.
When covering UK higher education, it's often convenient to group universities together by mission group or by size, which often overlooks some of the unique aspects of our institutions, which is why we started a new section in the campus news part of the magazine. With this in mind, I'm currently sat at Cranfield University with its Vice Chancellor, Professor Sir Peter Gregson. Nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you, Chris.
We're looking for uniqueness. I mean, this is quite a new role for you. You've been in the job several months. It's December 2013 now. You started in September. What attracted you to Cranfield University?
Well, I think in a leadership role like the Chief Executive and Vice Chancellor of Cranfield University, the first thing one does is to try and understand and build on the DNA of the institution. Cranfield is a specialist university. I think we're one of the universities that's leading postgraduate education and transformational research in those fields of applied science, engineering and management that we work in. So we're very much a specialist dedicated university to support business, government and wider society. I guess in that context, we are deeply embedded in our partnerships with business and industry, and I think you'll see that during your visit today. Mm-hmm. Whether we're talking about our strategic partnerships with the MOD, where we have a £320 million contract, that of course spans our work here on the Cranfield campus. It spans work going on in Cranfield Aerospace, one of our spin-out campuses, and at our substantial and specialist facilities at Shrivenham, because we have a campus at Shrivenham, a secure campus at Shrivenham. So that sort of strategic partnering is very important to us. It goes into the aerospace field through Rolls-Royce, so like many universities, we've got very strong links with Rolls-Royce. Mm-hmm. We've got a UTC, a University Technology Centre in propulsion. Many other universities have collaborating UTCs, and we work very closely with them. We also have a standalone master's course in operational excellence. It's delivered partly by ourselves, partly by Cambridge, but very much linked with Rolls-Royce. I think whilst we have a very strong brand in aerospace and defence and security, we also are very influential in the work, the applied work that we do in the broader environment spectrum. Some of the less specialised stuff, so if we look at some of our connections with companies like Severn Trent in wastewater, some of the work of Elise Cartmell and Tom Stevenson, some of the less savoury ends of water infrastructure around, you know, a sustainable sewerage system for smart cities and so on. A lot of that work is done here. So at any particular point in time, you might see people on this campus from Severn Trent. And I think at the moment we've probably got about five people in Severn Trent working on programmes that are directly exploiting what we do here. The same is true in our DEFRA-funded Environmental Risk Centre. So that link with business is very, very close. You see it in some of the statistics that you've presented. So in the Times Higher, we've seen Cranfield University sit alongside Imperial, Sheffield and Cambridge in terms of the biggest earners in engineering research. Mm. So you see it from there. Our customised executive education programmes are recognised as being the best in the UK and within the top 10 in the world. And again, that's why we're showing up in the top 100 universities in the world in terms of the Alma Mater Index that, again, the Times Higher has gone and introduced recently. Mm. So all of that really reflects the way in which we work closely with society outside the university. I suppose the last feature that you will see during your visit today as being very different is the scale of facilities, because we do work through from early stage fundamental research right the way through to research of high technology readiness. So you will see for yourself our centre that coats turbine blades, not on a laboratory scale, but coats full-scale ones to go into test engines. Mm. That gives you an idea of the scale. could have shown you some of the stuff we do in safety, transport safety. You'll hear Graham Braithwaite and his team every time there's a major incident, because they're here to train, you know, the UK specialists in safety and transport, whether it's air, rail or road. You'd see it in our integrated vehicle health monitoring setup that links together companies like Boeing, BAE Systems and so on at vehicle level integration. So that's a very, very key theme for Cranfield.
This sort of applied nature of study, making sure that what you're doing is usable on a practical level, is probably particularly important for students at Cranfield. You've got quite an interesting student demographic. I understand it's around about 50% are overseas students. The majority are, well, obviously all of them are postgraduate, but many of them are returning after 4, 5, 6 years yes. in employment already. So how do you tailor your courses with a very different student demographic in mind to what perhaps most universities have to do?
Very much so. You know, we are educating professional learners at a postgraduate level, and our programmes have to reflect that. So too does our research. And I think that those two things at Cranfield go very much together. It's not a research function and an education function. It really is one part of a continuous spectrum. In terms of the student demographics, we have to build on a high quality UK student base. I think it's that applied nature of what we do that really attracts students to Cranfield. So in the aerospace area, the government last year announced that they were putting forward a series of master's scholarships where students could apply to government for scholarships and then take those scholarships anywhere. There are 100 scholarships for master's students in aerospace. 44 of those students, so nearly 50%, elected to come to Cranfield. And I think that speaks volumes for the more experienced learners deciding to come and do more applied research here at Cranfield and the programmes that go with it.
You know, scholarships are also obviously very good news. We cover in the magazine quite a lot, so just student numbers in terms of postgraduates. I know as soon as we hear that sort of phrase in the office, you're looking at reports saying there's 12% fewer postgraduate students nowadays than there were, I think it was 3 years ago. You think of declining numbers of UK students being able to access the kind of funding that maybe those scholarships are offering, but that isn't available on a more widespread level. Is it a concern for you, those sort of trends at Cranfield, and what would you like to see done to maybe help more people go on to postgraduate study from the UK?
I mean, we're not immune to that pressure point. I wouldn't want to suggest that it's easy. We are, of course, absolutely committed to postgraduate education, and that's why I think some of these newer schemes are important, because obviously the new framework for funding of higher education really addressed undergraduate only, and actually only full-time undergraduate only. So there are certain rather second cousins in higher education at the moment. One is the whole part-time arena. And the other is the postgraduate arena. We just mentioned the Masters in Aerospace scholarships. Very recently, and just in your last issue, you covered the HEFCE initiative on the postgraduate scholarship scheme. This is a fairly limited amount of government funding being set aside to, I think, initiate some projects that might move towards developing a sustainable scheme. Certainly as far as our funded scheme is concerned, it is about developing a sustainable funding scheme for UK postgraduate students, and especially making sure that postgraduate education doesn't just become an opportunity for the privileged. So we want to make sure that we use this postgraduate scholarship scheme, working with other universities, and I've been at pains to stress that I think there are 20 universities that have got schemes. A few of us are working in the same sort of space, about working with the private sector to create something that's sustainable, and I hope that working together with other universities, we will do something to ensure to create something that will be sustainable and make sure that high-quality postgraduate education is available to high-quality UK students who can avail of the type of provision that we provide.
Mm. In a perfect world, what would that look like? An undergraduate-style loan scheme for postgraduate study?
Well, it obviously, you know, that's an, there's some learning points from that. We'll obviously be working with our partner, and other universities will be working with their partners to try and develop that. But I mean, obviously, that's where there is a large volume of experience at the moment. So we will be taking some of the principles from that, but applying it in a postgraduate arena where the whole area of payback based on career enhancement would be very different. Mm-hmm. Remember, our students are coming here with experience. So whereas most universities are focused around the platform for people's careers, we're looking at students that come in and are seeing their careers being enhanced by the provision from Cranfield, or their businesses being enhanced because of what they're doing differently. And that's a very important part, and we need to build that into the scheme.
You use the phrase second cousins there. I mean, would perhaps part-time students fall into that category as well? We've seen sort of big declines in the number of students who can hold up a career at the same time as studying at a university. Again, that must be quite a key demographic for you. Is that something you've noticed?
I think that is. But of course, in that area, because we work so closely with business, we are probably better placed than most postgraduate institutions, and in fact most institutions, to be able to cater and provide an excellent education opportunity for part-time students. So a lot of our programs are delivered in workplaces with companies that we're embedded with. It goes back to the point earlier about having really embedded strategic partnerships. I think that shows up in the type of impact that we have as well on society. So, you know, nowadays I think it's very important that universities like Cranfield, like any university, can very clearly point to the impact that we're having. A lot of ours is built upon the type of partnerships I've touched on already. I've mentioned already the high technology readiness levels of the low thermal conductivity coatings that you're going to see today. But just to put that in monetary terms or environment terms, you know, the work that is going on here at Cranfield is having a 1% reduction in the fuel burn of current generation engines. That over an engine lifetime is the equivalent to 14 metric tons of CO2 being saved. That's a very, very big impact and something that people can get their heads around. The other end of the university, in our management school of work at SU Vidicum, in the International Centre for Women Leaders, has been very influential in putting forward the business case for diversity, not just the philosophical case for diversity that everybody buys into, but the business case for diversity. And their work about getting more women on boards, again, is recognised as having a big impact on the fact that now, of the FTSE 100 companies, only 6 have an all-male board. We've got a long way to go, but that's important.
Absolutely. I mean, Cranfield specialises in engineering, applied sciences as well. Typically,
and management.
And management, of course. But those two in particular are typically quite male-dominated areas in terms of the student population. I mean, how does your sort of university go about promoting a healthy gender balance in these areas? I mean, what are the splits, male, female, in those sort of areas? I mean, it's obviously a topic that we cover quite a bit, and it must be at the sort of forefront of your sort of operations as well.
I think perhaps just before that, let me make sure that I don't give the impression that we are just dominated by technology. We've got a very strong technology base. Mm-hmm. But we also have a very globally recognised management school. So, for example, we work in retail areas. We've worked with a number of companies and recently established a reverse logistics toolkit for addressing what is a real challenge for the retail sector. £6 billion of money is currently spent by the retail sector in addressing returns, consumer returns. We're working with a number of companies, and through this reverse logistics toolkit, we've already demonstrated with those companies that they can reduce that by up to 40%. So that's another sort of £1 billion contribution to an important sector. Mm-hmm. So we are engineering, applied science and mathematics. Returning to your point, though, that because we are in that specialist arena, we, of course, as a university, don't have as diverse a community as we would like. We're absolutely committed to diversity. It's actually absolutely at the heart of what makes me tick. I was delighted when my former institution was recognised as the leading institution for developing the career of women in the STEM subjects.
Is that Southampton?
No, at Queen's University, Queen's Belfast. Thing. So Queen's is currently, you know, got an institutional Silver Swan Award. It's got a gold award in biological sciences. It's got silver awards across the whole STEM arena, and it's recognised as the university that's been pioneering in developing careers for women. One of the great things at Cranfield is the work of the International Centre for Women Leaders and the work that they do in broader society about influencing and shaping women leaders. That's crucial, and it's crucial that we're able to build on that world-leading work that goes on from within Cranfield to make sure that we get the right level of diversity. And that's obviously international as well as UK-based within this university. You've highlighted that we're 50% international students. That diversity needs to be reflected in our staff in every dimension. Certainly gender and also international origin.
There's only so much universities can do, though, to an extent, isn't there? I mean, if you look at the take-up of courses at A-level and, you know, going further down the educational ladder, there's a big problem for universities in improving their gender balance if schools aren't promoting females into roles that perhaps they aren't currently going into.
It's certainly the case that, you know, if you're in certain subjects, you are at a disadvantage. However, and it's also the case that, you know, appointments, whether it's for students into their first step into careers, whether it's career advancement of our graduates, whether it's people coming to the university to develop their career, we are always going to appoint on quality. But there is a lot that one can do in an institution to make sure that you're continuing to grow the talent pool from which you're selecting, the talent pool of diverse, of a diverse community. That's what's happening on the FTSE 100 boards. They're still appointing based on quality, but bringing through talented women leaders is a really important part, and it's absolutely embedded in a priority here at Cranfield.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Well, thanks for talking to me. I guess my last question would be, we're speaking at the end of 2013. You're settled in now after several months at the helm. What does 2014 and beyond look like for Cranfield University?
Very exciting. I think there are three key priorities. We've got to build the Cranfield community. It's a fantastic community, a specialist community, but a community of professional learners, of staff of the university, and of very influential alumni. We've seen the influential alumni base. That's why we're just one of five universities in the top 100 in the year in terms of the influence of our alumni. That whole community needs to be built as a community. Like all universities, we have to raise ambitions. And that's exciting for me as the chief executive and vice chancellor, but it's exciting for the whole university, because at the end of the day, it's about raising the ambitions of the university. That is about the future direction of the university. And then, of course, it's about realising those ambitions. So I'm a great believer in the expression that I have stolen from Walt Disney, who said that if you can dream it, you can do it. And that's where we are at Cranfield. So 2014 will be a year of dreams and a year of doing it.
Professor Sir Peter Gregson, very nice talking to you.
Thank you.
You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.